Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
How many are you excited for tonight? God is here and he's going to move. Just lift your hands right now. I believe that there is going to be such a move of God in every heart, in every life. It is not by accident that you are here. It is not by accident that you are in the seat that you're sitting in, by the person that you're sitting by. This is a divine moment. This is a time that God is pouring out his spirit. Do you hear it? Do you see it? Come on, God is asking you to lean in tonight. Holy Spirit, we welcome you and we thank you, God, that you have all control. I just give my whole word to you. You can throw it all out. Just show up. Just touch the hearts of the people. Transform them so they're never, ever the same. God, mark them as you marked many in the Bible. God, do a work that sets them ablaze and keeps them burning until eternity, Lord. We look to you. Come on, just look to him right now. Ask him for a fresh word. Listen, you don't even need me to preach because he wants to pour out his spirit upon you. He wants to speak fresh rhema words from heaven right now. And so we thank you, Lord. Come on, let him touch you. If you have the freedom to pray in the Holy Ghost right now, just begin to stir yourself up in your most holy faith. Come on, it says, and pray in the Holy Spirit. If you've not been baptized right now, you can be baptized. Just begin to praise him. Begin to open your mouth right now. Like on the day of Pentecost, it says the Holy Spirit came to empower, to give out boldness to his disciples. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, come on, you can be seated. You can be seated tonight. Just stay in that attitude, that atmosphere of just leaning in. What you expect is what you'll get. If you come with a heart of expectation, God will meet you every time. And it might not be the way that you think, but it will be what you need at that moment and in that hour. I've known that enough to be raised in revival, to be a part of this house, be a pastor for over 20 plus years, that, you know, when you come with a heart to seek God, not just a word, not just a touch, not just something that's going to hold you over for the next power conference, but if you're coming for transformation, guess what? God will meet you tonight. He will meet you. I just want to thank again Pastor Daniel and Pastor Karen and Hannah and Minister Daniel and DJ. Welcome to the family. So Hannah and DJ are living with us right now. We're so blessed. We feel so blessed to have them a part. And just the whole team. I mean, man, Pastor Andrew, we pass the baton to him in Oahu, and you're killing it. We're so proud of you. You are like a champ. You truly are a David. You have been raised up in the house as a worshiper, as a warrior, and now a leader. And I'm just so proud of you. And of course, gosh, Apostles Tom and Jane, you guys have been our mentors, our friends. We have just seen you as a dynamic duo and have been such an inspiration to Pastor Josh and I, that there can be that team ministry, and it's like the 1-2 punch in the Holy Ghost, and that is you guys. And so thank you for modeling it and going before us. Oh my gosh, the Fragolis, the Hodges, David, all of them. You guys are such dear friends. Pastor Heather, you've always encouraged me. You guys have been such cheerleaders to us and our new friends, Jordan and Amanda. I love you guys so much. It feels like we've known each other forever. And Prophet David, what can I say? I just love you so much. Okay, isn't he the best? Isn't he the best? It's awesome. Okay, I gotta get over and get started. I know intros can take forever. Well, let me just get started with really a journey that the Lord has taken me on these last few months. And I'll rewind back to June of 2023 when, after our conference, We gathered a whole bunch of worshipers for a worship summit. It was a time where we gathered all of our worshipers to begin to write and prophetically sing and to just be trained in worship and praise and prophecy. And, you know, I didn't get all the gifts because I'm not a singer. And I ended up coming up just because I wanted to be there with everybody. And, I'm not a singer, but it was a time where they were activating people in the prophetic through worship. And this is like from a girl who is in sixth grade to an older, lady who had never really sung in front of people to worship leaders, but they were all coming up to the piano organically and just begin to prophetically sing. And I said, Lord, just download a fresh word for me. I know I'm not going to get up there and sing, but I know God. I was just, the presence of God was so thick in the room. It was so intimate. It was just like this acoustic time with the guitar and with the piano. And then I felt like the Lord said, 24, 24. And I said, what, God? What are you saying? And I began to write in my notes, and he says, I want you to do 24 days of 24-hour prayer in 2024. And I was taken back by this call that God had begun to commission me to say, do something. I want you to pioneer this thing. I want you to, and I said, wait, God, I'm not like the prayer person. I'm like the woman's pastor and I do other things. And he says, I want you to focus, because he said this, and I believe this is for the entire house of Kings worldwide. He says, there's a strong culture of prayer in KC. There's been that since Pastor Joshua's grandfather started early morning prayer over 40 years ago. And he says, there's a strong culture of worship, but I want to merge these two powerhouses together to elevate our church in this season and push it into a place of fervent prayer where we will see revival. And I was like, okay, God, okay. So that began to start the journey in my life of these last 2 months, as literally the heavens have opened, and I feel like every day the rhema word, the word of God is pouring in my life. So fast forward, it's the New Year's Eve service, and we're worshiping God, believing God, saying, God, what do you want for this new year? We're right on the brink of 2024, and I was standing there worshiping, and I felt the Lord says, take off your shoes, for you're on holy ground. And I literally took off my shoes and I stood there, and I had really nice high heels, ladies, and it was a little difficult taking off my high heels. But I said, okay, Lord, I am taking off my heels. And the Lord began to birth a message in my heart and a sequence of messages that I believe are prophetic in nature and that truly build on one another. So are you ready to lean in tonight? Get your notes out, because I'm not giving you just a little bit. I'm gonna give you a lot, but God is gonna move. See, I believe that God is calling us to a holy reverence. He began to start speaking to me of what was to come and how we needed to posture ourselves in the house of God. He said, I want you, and write this down, I want you to come into my presence expecting, respecting, and protecting. I want you to come every time you come into my house and into prayer and into worship. I want you to come expecting, respecting, and protecting what I am going to do. See, we're not to make the sacred things common. We are to have a holy reverence in the Lord. And it was amazing, because I spoke this message, I think, a week before our purpose conference, when John and Lisa Bevere came, and his whole message was on the holy, healthy fear of the Lord. Not a fear of God, but a fear that you would ever be away from God. That you love God so much that you don't ever want to be away from his presence. And the Lord says, I want to prepare our people to come into the house and make sure they're protecting, expecting, and respecting the house of the Lord. But then he began to speak to me and says, as you have a holy reverence, I will begin to move in a holy encounters. He says, I want, just like a Moses was on the backside of a mountain. He was running from his destiny. He was running from his call. He was not doing what he was called to do. And yet he was there and encountered God through a burning bush. where God told him, take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. And in that moment, he had a holy encounter with the living God and got called to be the deliverer of Israel. I believe tonight and this weekend, God is setting you up for holy encounters. He is beginning to position you to meet you face to face. You don't need a preacher. You don't need a person. You need the living God. You need to encounter a God that will never leave you, that will never forsake you. But what struck me in such a powerful way is the Lord says, I don't want to just have them encounter me. See, I believe, yes, we're going to have holy encounters with God, but he spoke to me, it's because I want them to have holy encounters with others. See, the whole reason we encounter Jesus is to be transformed, to be changed, to go out into the world and have holy encounters with those that you come across in the store and in your neighborhood and wherever you go. See, many times as Pentecostals, we just want to get the touch. We want to encounter God for encounter's sake. And that's not what he wants. He touches you to send you. He pours out his spirit so that you can go. Moses had an assignment, and the Lord says, yes, I will touch you, and I will heal you, and I will transform you, and I will deliver you. Yes, he will do that, but he does it so that you can take it to the world. But he said, you can't have a holy encounter without moving to a place of a holy lifestyle. See, a holy reverence starts with understanding who God is. Holy encounter helps you meet him face to face. But when you meet him face to face, it turns your life into a holy living. See, in Psalms 24:3, it says, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may ascend or stand in the holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in idol or swear by a false god. Did you see that part where it says, we may stand in the holy place? I believe the church, God is calling the church to holiness. God is bringing us back to a place of reverence, encounters, and a lifestyle of holiness. There might be things in your life that are of compromise, but I believe even in this conference, even in the call-out rooms, God is burning out those desires. Come on, how many of you believe that? Some of you that struggle with addictions or attitudes or situations in your life that you feel like you never can get past it. You're going around that mountain over and over again, but I believe that God is calling us to a place of holiness. Why? This message he gave me was preparing us for the next season, the next step. And as we live that way, I believe the Holy Spirit will come in great measure because he's positioning you in the right place. See, when we honor the Holy Spirit, when we expect him to come, and when we come with clean hands and a pure heart, God says that he will meet you there. So after that message, that word that the Lord gave me, we were moving right into 24:24. It's like a word that came, and I know here how many of you participated in the times of prayer and worship as God was calling us higher, as God was calling us deeper. It was days before we were to start, and it was at the end of our purpose conference. And you know, us KC folk, we just work our brains out. So here's a full-on conference where we just worked. And it was Monday was a day off, and then Tuesday we were gonna start 24:24 in Maui. And I started feeling like, oh my gosh, what did I do? The staff's gonna hate me. Like, oh my gosh, God, did I really hear you? This is crazy. What was I thinking? I should take vacation right now. Like, come on. See, when God speaks to you, there's always the moments where the enemy tries to come in to make you doubt the vision. He wants you to doubt the call. He wants to put all of the fear in your heart. But I'm telling you, when that starts happening, you know something good's about ready to happen. And so we launch into 24:24 as we worship and we pray and we cast it online for everyone to reach in. And the Lord said, I'm doing a work. And as our team started leaning in, I was amazed. I was amazed. These pastors and ministers and congregation members, they were coming up to me going, this is the best thing that have ever happened in my life. They said, I haven't felt God's presence like this in so long. They started coming up to me and saying, oh my goodness, I'm being so stretched in my prayer. I never prayed like this. I never had to pray 2 hours a day. And God began to start doing something in our hearts. And see, he was producing a sensitivity. He was drawing us with intimacy, but he also was putting in our heart an urgency of the hour, an urgency of what God was going to do. And you know what? I think the best thing that it did for me is anybody is like a doer. You just do. You like, you got your to-do list. You're like, check it off. You're like, I got this. I just want to fulfill that checklist. Any of those people? Come on. Anybody who's like, I don't care. I don't know. No, you know. So and the story of Mary and Martha, I feel bad because I feel like Martha always gets the bad rap. Because I feel sometimes like I'm a Martha. And I said, listen, God, Martha was working and Mary wasn't doing her thing. And she was working hard. But this time of prayer, what God is doing in us is getting us to pause, to stop being so busy, to be a Mary and sit at his feet. Because I'm going to tell you, in that prayer room, I got blasted by God. I was supposed to be leading a prayer time. And one of my friends texts me after the noon prayer time and says, Pastor Shannon, we missed you. Where were you? I said, I was on the floor the whole time. The worship leader literally took us to another heaven. I mean, it was like heaven opened over that prayer chapel. And angels literally came on in. And she began to sing from God, from heaven to me. And I was out. It was so thick, and every time that somebody else would come in, they're like, whoa, what is going on? See, I know that God was calling us then to unbreakable prayer and praise. So not only a call to reverence, but a call to unbreakable prayer and praise. And one Wednesday night, my husband says, honey, I feel like you need a minister. And I didn't want to. I was tired, but God was birthing another word in my heart. And this was it. He has said, I'm calling the church to unbreakable prayer and praise. Come on, can we give a shout to the Lord? Are you guys still tracking with me? Come on, look at your neighbor and say, wake up. No, I'm just joking. And the Lord brought me to Leviticus 6:12. This is a big one. The fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning, the priest is to add firewood. Come on, every what? Every morning to add firewood and arrange the burnt offerings on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. The fire must not go out. God is lighting us up for this hour and this time. He is doing something in us because he's preparing us for the harvest. He's preparing us for the next step. I'm telling you, what the Lord has been revealing to me is overwhelming. It's almost like I can't handle everything that he's downloading. And he began to show me the story of Paul and Silas. And I love this story. This is one of my favorite stories. They're in Philippi and they're ministering. And guess what? They're having quite good success. They go to Lydia's house, she's got touch, you know, they're doing ministry. And then all of a sudden, when they're going to the temple to pray, come on, they're going to the temple to pray, they're doing their thing. What happens? They encounter a slave girl that's demon possessed, who's a fortune teller, who begins to start coming after them and following them. And Paul gets so irritated that what? He casts that demon out. But I want to share something interesting that actually kind of goes with Pastor Bruno's message. Because as I was doing a little bit of studying, when it says in the King James Version, it says she was possessed with a spirit of divination. Do you know in the Greek what that word divination means? Python. You talked about the snake this morning. And it's from Greek mythology, and the name Pythia means a serpent or dragon that dwelt in that region. See, anytime we try to move forward in prayer and praise, guess what happens? That python spirit wants to try to wrap itself around you, squeeze out your strength, and get you distracted from going to pray and praise. Anybody have a hard time trying to get in your prayer closet? Anybody ever struggle staying focused when you're trying to pray and encounter God? My eyes have been so open because I realize that as I put this time aside to pray, God is speaking all the time. What a thought. He's speaking all the time. Miracles are happening all the time. But guess what's the clincher? You. Yes. Me. Yes. We're too busy. Yes. We're too distracted, like Pastor Josh said. We're too discouraged. We're derailed. He'll send that python spirit that tries to suck the life out of you and take your breath away. But come on, it said right there that they can't. Paul got so annoyed. I love it. He's like, Paul got so annoyed that he says, get out. And he called the spirit out, not the girl. He was able to identify the spirit. And some of us are getting mad at people around us. Some of us are getting mad at the natural when you really need to be in spiritual warfare over the supernatural. So they get thrown into prison, they get beaten, they get shook up. I mean, man, they're bleeding. They get put in the inner cells and they get chains put on them and they're shackled. How do you think you would respond in that moment? Like, hey, God, I'm doing your work. Hey, God, I'm in ministry. I gave you my life. Now, why is this happening? Anybody ever feel that way? You're like, God, I surrendered it all. Why is everything happening bad to me? Oh, but God was setting him up. God was setting them up. And what does it say in verse 25? Come on, we're in Acts 16. Because of time, I'm not reading all of Acts 16, but you can go there in Acts 16. But in verse 25, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were what? Praying and singing hymns to God. And the other who? Prisoners were listening to him. Oh, these are some kind of men. What kind of men? Bleeding, beat up, tired, in deep darkness would begin to pray and praise. See, these are men that knew their calling. These were men that they didn't care if they died or not, that they were willing to give it all. Are you willing to stay in a posture of prayer and praise even when you're going through hell? See, they knew that that was their only way out, that they knew that that was their only way is to pray and to thank God that even through the good and the bad, can we just lift our hands and thank God? Say, thank you, Lord, for my trials. Thank you, Lord, for my blessings. Sometimes we need to begin to thank him for even the hard times because he's beginning to mold you and make you and refine you. And this is my favorite part. The jailer wakes up and he sees that all the doors had flung open and he's about ready to kill himself because if they were to escape, he would have been murdered. He would have been killed because whoever is watching the prisoners, it's on them. And Paul says, wait, we're all here. We're all here. And this was the moment that I love the most is when you stay in prayer and praise, when you begin to stand, you will have a divine suddenly. It says, suddenly, what does it say? Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone, say everyone's, not just Paul and Silas. Hello. They were all listening. They were all watching. People are watching you. People are looking at you and they say, when they got that bad diagnosis, are they gonna pray and praise? Where's Jana? Come here, Jana. I know most people know, but some don't. What did you just go through?
God saved me, healed me from cancer.
And you were in Oahu. She was in Oahu the same time I was in the hospital with Haven. And we were texting back and forth and praying for each other. But what did they have to do?
They cut out a big portion of the back of my head down to my skull. And
look at her! Look at her! Come on, somebody needs to get excited for what the Lord is doing. I love this girl. Do you know that this girl and her sister Tasha were, I was a camp leader when they were in elementary school. I was able to sow into them and love on them, and God built a relationship. And you know what I saw with her is that through it all, she was praising and she was praying and she didn't lose faith. And then she had her suddenly. It didn't mean she didn't have to go through that horrible surgery, but her faith is stronger. Her testimony is gonna go around the world. See, God is setting you up. People are watching you. And when you pray and praise, when your suddenly happens, guess what? It becomes their suddenly. It becomes their moment where their chains of addiction, their chains of sin and bondage and fear are broken off because you stood in the gap. Because you prayed. Because you praised when it was uncomfortable. You praised when you got the bad news about your house. You praised and prayed when your wayward son and daughter is out in the world. You stood when you could have given up, but you praised. See, God is raising up a people that will pray and praise, have unbreakable pray and prayer, praise through every circumstance. So what I believe the Lord is speaking is that we must be battle ready. Because as we move into this time of prayer and praise, the enemy will try to bring those people like that girl, that python spirit that will try to choke you out. And I don't say this, that like Pastor Josh said, we're not doomsday people. We don't try to like, but I'm saying, church, get battle ready. Church, get your armor on. Church, this isn't just plain patty cake. We are in the end times. God is moving and God is looking for men and women he can count on that are not gonna shrink back, that will stand in the face of adversity. But I also believe that when we're battle ready and when we go through the fire, we will not get burned. But secondly, we will see increased signs and wonders. It is prophesied, it is spoken in the word of God that in the end times, we will see an increase. Come on, how many of you are ready for the increase of signs and wonders? I don't wanna just hear about signs and wonders in other countries. I don't want to. I am fed up. I want to see miracles now. I want to see salvations now. I want to see supernatural things happen now. Because we're hungry, because we're waiting, because we're expectant. We'll see those divine suddenlies. Can I just say, some of you in here, get ready. Get ready. You're gonna have a divine suddenly when you least expect it. God is gonna begin to shake things. God is begin to open doors. God is gonna begin to give you divine appointments. Get ready for it. Look for it. Know that it's coming. Oh, but the next thing, chains will be broken. Chains will fall off. When the Spirit of God starts moving, when the Spirit of God starts moving, when you have a culture of prayer and praise, and this place has been bathed and blanketed in prayer and intercession, and you got a people that are seeking the living God, guess what? You don't even have to preach a message, Pastor Daniel, and people will run up with their cigarettes, their drugs, with their paraphernalia, with everything that is of this world. They will start throwing it at the altar. I have been praying that Maui's altars, that people would come running. I see it. I see it. See, I believe that God is asking us to see that before he'll actually let it be manifested. See, I believe that God was preparing us, and I know God's preparing you, but I believe the Lord spoke to me. He goes, Pastor Shannon. He didn't call me Pastor Shannon. That's funny. Yes, Lord, daughter, right? He said, if I would have sent revival to Maui before this, your team wouldn't have been ready. Because revival is a lot of work. It's great, but when revival hits, it could go days, weeks, months, and you have to have a strength in the spirit to be able to hold and to contend and to steward that. And the Lord says, if I would have sent it, they would have been dry and you guys would have broke. But because you've soaked and you've sit and you've sought me, every one of those pastors are like, I just want more. I just want more. And God began to soften all of our hearts. And so chains are gonna begin to break. We are gonna see it in all of our churches. In Arizona, you're gonna see it. Why? Because there's too many churches that are not seeing chains broken. They have a good service. But if we were to take a poll, how many people are in bondage? How many people are suffering silently in our churches? Probably 75% are in bondage and need their chains to be broken. But lastly, I believe that this is a season of radical encounters. Radical salvations. That jailer was a supernatural story. I didn't tell you what happened, and you can read it, but the jailer was about ready to kill himself, and Paul said, wait, and then he says, how might I be saved? How many of you would love people to come up to you in your community and say, Pastor Jordan, how might I be saved? Pastor Amanda, Pastor Heather, running to your church, running to your home and saying, how can I be saved? I'm gonna believe that that's gonna happen. And what does the Apostle Paul say? I love it. He says, you and your entire, he says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your entire household shall be saved. Come on, let's say it right now. You and your entire household shall be saved. It's a ripple effect. It's a generational blessing. It's not just you, but it's all those around you. So as we were coming to a close of the 24 days, I was like, God, this, no. I feel like we're just getting started. Pastor Josh and I said, Lord, what's next? We can't end this. What do you want to do? And he whispered to me, he goes, the harvest is ripe. Yes. And the Lord spoke to Josh, scripture in Psalms that said, morning, noon, and night will I seek you. And I will hear you. So the Lord gave us a mandate to continue to pray morning, noon, and night, and to keep that culture of unbreakable prayer. And I know right here, I'm telling you right here, you guys warred in prayer. You guys sought God, and you're gonna continue to seek God. You have early morning prayer, but I know your pastor told me they're about ready to roll out a plan where you will continue to come and seek the Lord in prayer. Why? Because it's warfare. We've got to continue to stand. And I had these papers to give you, and I just quickly want to give this to you because the Lord says you need to sharpen your prayers for the lost. See, in the prayer room, I began to start praying certain things, and he began to hone in my prayers. I'm going to give this to you quick because I believe that you need it. And you know what? Whenever the internet is fixed, they're going to print those out, and they're going to have them somewhere for you because I give you a whole thing on how to pray for the unbeliever and a place where you can write down the unbeliever's names and begin to pray for it, but then it's this. Pray. Blinders be removed from their eyes. Number one, I'm just gonna go through it quick. I have a whole sermon on this that you can watch in another time. You can just go to the Maui. But this is what we've gotta pray. Yes, the harvest is ripe, and the Lord says, you keep praying. You keep praying, but you pray even more precise prayers. Pray, blinders be removed from their eyes, like Paul's scales fell from his eyes. Number two, pray, hardened hearts to be softened. Like in Ezekiel, where it says, I will remove the hardened heart and I will give them a heart of flesh. This is for all your unsafe family and friends and your community. Lord, blinders be removed. Lord, soften hardened hearts. Pray against pride and unbelief. See, Jesus could not do miracles in his hometown because of the unbelief, because of the pride. We need to pray that pride get broken down so people can receive the word. The next is bind principalities of darkness. Bind the principalities in that region. I think it was no accident that that girl found Paul, because he was the most powerful man in that town, and she was the most powerful. That demon was the most powerful thing in that region, and they went head to head, and guess what? Paul won. Jesus won in that moment. So you better bind it. You better ask God, what are the principalities over my home, over this region, over this town, over this state? Because as you begin to start praying it, listen, those demons will flee. But lastly, you pray. Oh, and I know this is going to hit home for many of you. Pray for prodigal sons and daughters to come home. How many of you have a prodigal son and daughter? How many of you, come on, stand to your feet right now. Stand to your feet. I just want you to stand to your feet. I've been calling them home. I've been calling them home. There's so many in Maui that we grew up with. There's so many that were in our youth ministry. I said, Lord, bring them. I want every single prodigal son and daughter. And this is the scripture that we pray, Isaiah 43, 6. It says, I will say to the north, give them up. Yes. And to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I have formed and made. Come on, lift your hands. Lift your hands and pray by name for those prodigal sons and daughters, those friends, those coworkers. You can pray even if they're not your spiritual, your physical sons and daughters. You can begin to pray. God, we call them home. We call them home right now. Those that are not serving you, call that you would draw them back. It says the goodness of God leads people to repentance. So by your goodness, may they have divine encounters. God, may they see you face to face. May they be like Paul's. Oh God, remove the blinders. Jesus, Jesus, bring them home. Bring them home. We bind every principality of darkness over their lives. Every bit of pride and unbelief, we say go in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. But before I close, the last call that the Lord said, when he said to me, the harvest is ripe, he said, yes, keep praying for them, but go get them. Go get them. It's great that we have this beautiful church. It's so great. But what is it if we don't go get them? It says snatch them from the fire. God is wrecking me. This you wanna, you get in the presence of God and you pray and you seek him for hours a day, you will get his heart. And his heart breaks for the lost ones. It says that he will leave the 99 and go after the one. We've got to go. It says the harvest is huge. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. That grieves me because I feel like I've been a part of that problem. I don't want to be a pastor on a stage that can speak a pretty message and not be a soul winner. So I challenged our church. Go, go, go to your homes, go to your neighborhoods, go to your schools. You gotta live it, you gotta show it, and you gotta share it. You've got to live the life, you've gotta share it. Open your mouth. God's been doing something. I was at 24 Hour Fitness in Wasilla just the other day, or Planet Fitness. And I've just been talking to people. I said, just bless people. Even if it's anything, just bless them. Pay for their gas. People in our church keep coming up to me and said, Pastor Shannon, I paid for this. And then I'd invite him. DJ and Hannah paid for someone's lunch. And then there was a guy drinking from a puddle. And she felt bad because she remembered her dad all those years ago. And they gave him some water. It's the love of God that compels us. It says, go, compel them so that my house may be filled. You on this sanctuary filled, go get them. go get the broken, go get the hurting, go get the ones that nobody wants and bring them in. God is here. Revival is here, but he's waiting on you. He's waiting on me. It is time. The call for holy reverence. A call to unbreakable prayer and praise. And a call for the harvest. That is the call tonight. Will you embrace it? Will you step in? Will you lean in?
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.